Want a more fault-tolerant data center? Bring the availability of cloud computing inside your data center with the only server built from the cloud up.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of TechNet Radio in our Build Your Hybrid Cloud series with Windows Server 2012 R2 and System Center 2012 R2. My name is Keith Mayer. I'm a technical evangelist at Microsoft for private cloud and hybrid cloud, and I have with me today my good friend and colleague, Janelle Crothers. Hey, Janelle. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Keith. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. Hey, Janelle, for the benefit of everyone listening in our audience today, could you give a brief overview of who you are and your background in the Microsoft space?
Sure. I'm actually a new technical evangelist on the West Coast for Microsoft, and previous to that, I've been a systems administrator for about 15 years.
Oh, awesome. And I think you were an MVP as well, right?
I was a Microsoft MVP for about 4 years.
Awesome. And you're in the West Coast, so you don't have to probably deal with all the snow that I have here in Columbus today.
No, it's about 50 here today, which I think by your standards is still pretty warm.
Yeah, still pretty warm. Okay, well, let's jump right in. So, Janelle, over the last few episodes in our Build Your Hybrid Cloud series, we've been talking a lot about the new capabilities of Server 2012 R2 and System Center 2012 R2 as part of a cohesive strategy. And that cohesive strategy, many of you may have heard named our devices and services or cloud OS strategy, that allows end users to have access to a variety of devices. They can choose the device that best fits their lifestyle, their work modality, their current needs, to consistently run the applications that are important to them for achieving productive business results or doing work in their personal lives, whether it's a notebook or tablet or desktop computer or a phone device or heck, even a gaming device like Xbox One. Now, of course, those applications, they all need to connect back to back-end services in our data center or in a cloud data center like Windows Azure for being able to access data, being able to authenticate securely to it and whatnot. And that's where Windows Server 2012 R2 and Hyper-V come in, as providing a very scalable, virtualized platform for growing and expanding your data center resources cost effectively. But it doesn't end just inside your own data center, because as many of us are finding, our own data centers are limited in the capacity that they have available. And so taking advantage of cloud resources, like what's available on our Windows Azure cloud, to expand the capacity of our data center makes a lot of sense. And Windows Azure, of course, is battle-tested as a global set of data center resources. It runs Windows Server and Hyper-V up in the Windows Azure virtualization layer, and it's battle-tested by our own consumer-facing services like Xbox Live and Bing and Office 365 and SkyDrive, so that you can gain value from millions of people hitting Windows Azure and our Azure team taking the time to optimize that platform from a cost and performance standpoint. You can take advantage of the additional capacity of Azure to augment your data center as well. But of course, all of these platforms wouldn't be useful from an IT professional standpoint unless we had a consistent way of securing and managing and providing access to them from a variety of devices. And in the middle, you see a variety of technologies that allow us to do just that. So Active Directory for single sign-on and unified identity management across services that are running in our data center or cloud data centers. System Center for managing all of our resources, whether they're client resources, server resources, whether they're server resources in our data center or up in the Azure cloud, consistently from a single set of management tools. Windows Intune for mobile device management across not just Windows mobile devices like Windows Phone and Windows Surface, Microsoft Surface, but also mobile devices that are non-Windows platforms like iOS and Android devices. Being able to present those applications and that data conveniently through cloud technologies like Office 365, and then for your development teams, being able to develop those applications to take advantage of all these great resources, all these device platforms, and scalability of our on-premises Hyper-V platform and Windows Server platform services, as well as Azure through Visual Studio and TFS. But of course, out of this entire ecosystem, today we're really going to be focusing on more of the private cloud aspects that Server 2012 R2 and Hyper-V provide. And as you've seen, Janelle, and I've seen as well, Hyper-V has really grown up over the years in the R2 release with some very impressive capabilities around virtualization scale, high availability.
Gotten really scaled up.
Yeah, definitely. High availability, disaster recovery, storage virtualization, all built into Hyper-V in Server 2012 and in 2012 R2, and also built in even in our free Hyper-V product, our free version of Hyper-V Server 2012 R2 with these same exact capabilities. As the product team started looking at Windows Server 2012 and looking at what areas make the most sense to enhance in our R2 release, they concentrated on 7 key areas to make strategic product investments in. And some of them we've already been looking at in the series. Areas like core server virtualization, storage, networking, server management and automation. But in this episode, we're going to be looking at virtual desktop or VDI infrastructure. I've seen a lot of interest around virtual desktop initiatives, whether it's companies that are currently still have some Windows XP-based devices around, and they're looking for a strategy to quickly move off of XP to Windows 7 or Windows 8 client operating systems to modernize their desktop environment, or whether they're looking to regain some of the capital costs that they had previously spent in deploying traditional thick or rich client desktop architectures by virtualizing that. So VDI is really gaining in popularity. Janelle, how about you? Are you seeing a lot of interest around VDI in your community?
There's everybody's trying to use a little bit of VDI, with third-party vendors and stuff like that. But, that costs. I'm assuming this costs too, right?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, in many cases, it does cost from a third-party vendor standpoint. But in our case, our VDI capabilities are actually built in to Server 2012 R2 and Hyper-V and our remote desktop services roles. So I know in a lot of cases, when I say remote desktop services, a lot of IT pros I talk to think of, you mean that old terminal services piece, right, where I could have a server that was virtualizing multiple sessions and have multiple users connect through remote desktop. And that piece is certainly still there. I mean, that's a tried and proven platform for lots of applications.
But you're just getting server desktop that way.
But with the enhancements to remote desktop services in 2012 and 2012 R2, remote desktop services taken on new life, right, to also incorporate client desktop full VDI virtualization as well, so that you can present a mixture of virtualized desktop experiences, all from one consistent interface, whether it makes sense for your users and your applications to do remote desktop session virtualization for some of your applications, the old terminal services piece, or whether it makes sense to give them personal VMs for running Windows 7 or Windows 8 desktops virtualized from, or someplace in the middle where we're developing kind of a standard pooled set of desktops that we wish to make available to users on an on-demand basis, can do all of that with Server 2012 and R2 out of the back and mix it all up to determine what makes the most sense. In fact, in mixing and combining those different technologies, I find that that's one of the areas that provides us with a lot more value from some of the other VDI-only solutions, because what I've seen in many cases, there's a significant percentage of applications that can still be delivered really cost-effectively using session virtualization, but then for those heavier-duty desktop needs or those heavily customized desktop needs, we've got VDI baked into remote desktop services now to be able to deliver that as well.
Seems like a nice solution for some legacy applications still, too.
Yeah, definitely. And so this change in how we're looking at remote desktop services being really a comprehensive VDI strategy came about with Server 2012, but in the R2 release, there's also been some significant uplifts of that VDI strategy as well. One of the areas that I've seen a ton of excitement around is online data deduplication, because if I'm deploying a bunch of VDI VMs using
copies of copies of the desktop all over the place.
Exactly, copies of the same 30 gig or 40 gig VM image. So with online data deduplication, we can dedupe that down to one set of blocks, and that's a really impressive way. It also is interesting because combining the online data deduplication with some of what we've talked about in some of the earlier episodes around storage tiering between SSD and hard disk, online data deduplication allows us to get a smaller set of blocks for our VDI environment that we can more easily stuff inside of SSD storage using the storage tiering. So it can also actually improve performance, not only reduce disk space, but improve performance of your VDI response time.
So everybody's individual data is on the faster, faster storage.
Yep, exactly. What are the other areas that I throw into the sometimes it's the little things that matter most bucket is session shadowing.
That's always been a pain point.
Yeah, session shadowing, I mean, it used to be available at terminal services before Server 2012, but because of the architectural changes that were made in Server 2012, session shadowing wasn't in the Server 2012 release of remote desktop services. It's back in R2, so you can session shadow somebody else's remote session.
Having people work remotely and not being able to see their screen is such, it's so important.
And it's back, and it's better than ever, because now we can session shadow not just full desktop remote sessions, but we can session shadow if people are using the remote app capabilities to just publish remote apps that are launching on their traditional desktop without the full desktop session around it. Mm-hmm. We can shadow those remote apps as well.
Oh, now that's really cool.
Yeah, they just come up on our remote screen as a black desktop window with the apps that they're remoting shown inside of it. So, yeah, that is really cool.
Oh, that's nice. And you can't see their desktop either. So from a security issue for other applications that they're working on locally, you can't see them.
Exactly. Yeah, so it's a really nice capability. Quick Reconnect is a feature that I like because I use remote desktop all the time as a client when I'm out delivering events and whatnot on from our remote lab environment. And as you know, a lot of cases when you're out mobile, internet connectivity is not always as stable as it should be. And so in the past, when your internet connection drops or has issues, remote desktop closes, and then you see that waiting to reconnect. Once, trying twice, trying three times.
Yes.
Yep, exactly. Well, now with 2012 R2, if you're using the R2 version of the remote desktop client, they've added Quick Reconnect. So basically what it does is it reconnects much more quickly. They've brought down the reconnect time from about 45 to 60 seconds in the past down to under 10 seconds in most cases.
Notice it was gone.
Almost, yeah. not quite seamless, but almost.
We're pretty close, yeah.
Yep. We talked a little bit about remote app previously, being able to publish just remote apps to a remote desktop through our VDI capabilities. But what used to happen in the past is as you move those remote app windows around, sometimes they didn't refresh as well as a full app and whatnot.
Yeah, it kind of looked a little choppy.
Yeah, so now we've got more natural remote app behavior, and we've also got some added benefits where if you're doing a remote app publishing, maybe like a browser window or a Outlook email client or something, and some other window launches from your remote app window, that'll automatically be added into remote app as well. Where before, sometimes you got into situations where you might publish like a browser window as a remote app. Somebody clicks on it, it opens a new window outside of your remote app session, and they can't see it. So now we've got this more natural behavior around remote app. But the single biggest issue that I find, the single biggest advantage that I see for most infrastructure professionals is the reduced bandwidth usage, particularly for video-heavy remote desktop sessions. We've got 50% less WAN bandwidth usage with R2. Running R2 as the remote desktops or VDI server infrastructure and running the R2 version of the remote desktop client support. It's included with Windows 8.1. Yeah. So 50% less bandwidth usage. That's huge.
It's
eliminating a lot of the reason to go with that other environments that had gone with third-party add-ons for remote desktop in the past. If you have graphics-intensive remote desktop applications, we've got improved support for our virtual GPU capabilities. It now supports DirectX 11.1. So if you've got heavy-duty graphics apps, CAD, CAM apps that are using DirectX, that should be a big benefit. And then this last feature, I've kind of added in here, it's more of a feature for us as IT pros than it is for users using a remote desktop. It's called Restricted Admin Mode. And what it does is, you know how when you launch remote desktop normally and try to connect to your server, remote desktop prompts you for your username and password, and it passes that through into right. the remote session? Well, a lot of IT pros, if they're going over untrusted machines, or they're using like a kiosk machine that's a mm-hmm. public station, they don't like that idea, right? Because you never really know what the policies are around caching those credentials locally. So restricted admin mode allows you to launch a remote desktop session that basically passes through with no credentials and gets you right to the interactive login screen so that you can log in inside the remote desktop session without having to worry about anything being stored locally.
That's nice. It saves that pre-step. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely.
Really on the server before you log in instead of
exactly
on the server.
Yep, exactly. Well, Janelle, what do you think? Does it make sense to drop over into our lab and walk through a couple of these new features, maybe set up a basic remote desktop or VDI environment for everyone?
Oh, yeah, the features sound great. So if you've got something so we can see them, then let's see it.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's I'll meet you over in the lab.
All right.
Well, hey, Janelle, here we are back in our lab environment, and we're on the console of one of our Server 2012 R2 hypervisor hosts with the full GUI installed and the server manager tool that we were talking about in one of our other episodes up and running. And
you've got 15 servers you're managing from that dashboard.
Yeah, 15 file servers, 7 Hyper-V servers, and so on and so forth. Yeah, so it's 15 servers all up, you're right. I have plenty of room to scale, though, because Server Manager supports up to 100 Windows servers, so I can still have room to grow. So one of the first questions that a lot of the IT pros I talk with ask is, you know, just how do I set up VDI? And a lot of them have experience with remote desktop services and remote desktop brokers that we had in the Server 2008 R2 days. And it's funny, we used to have what we called a quick step guide for building a remote desktop environment for pilot or POC standpoints in 2008 R2. The quick step guide, I don't know if you ever looked at that, Janelle, the quick step guide was like 160 pages in length for doing a quick start of a remote desktop environment.
There's a lot of parts to it.
Right. So you're quick starting a lot of things. So what having a 160 page quick start guide didn't do a whole lot to make it easy to spin these environments up. So what the remote desktop team did is they actually baked the quick start guide logic into a more automated process that they integrated into the add roles and features wizard of Server Manager. So now with Server 2012 or 2012 R2, when I drop into add roles and features, as I click through the wizard, you'll see the ability to do a remote desktop services installation. And as you go through that wizard process, it'll ask you questions about whether you're setting up a full VDI environment or a session-based desktop deployment, kind of the old terminal services-based deployment. So if I select that option and then click Next, it's going to ask me, do I want to do a standard deployment or a quick start deployment? So this quick start option basically walks you through that 160-page guide in a much abbreviated set of steps. It asks you a few questions. Which servers do you want to have your VDI virtualization hosts on? Which servers do you want to make your remote desktop broker? Which server do you want to make your web server or whatnot? It can all be on one server. It can be spread across multiple. And it works through the process of deploying all that for a small POC. If you want more flexibility, you can still go through a standard deployment, and then it splits out the detailed questions around each of those roles in additional pages here.
Saves a lot of error.
Yep. So the quick start gets rid of all those extra pages, basically. And as you said, it saves a lot of manual steps that were error prone in the past. So I'd encourage everybody to take a look at the quick start. Set something up quickly. You can always, the nice thing about it is even if you use the quick start to get started, you can always expand it into a more full-featured multi-server deployment after the quick start's initially deployed. I've already got everything configured through a standard deployment. So as we go through the quick start in my environment, you'll see my options grayed out. But normally it would ask you during the quick start, do you want a full VDI deployment or are you doing a session-based deployment? And then it would step you through the process of getting that quickly set up. So it's a really nice feature. Once that's all set up, in Server Manager, you'll see a new remote desktop services page that opens up. And we've got this new deployment overview page that does a really nice job of giving us some quick options to adding to our quick start environment, adding additional VDI virtualization hosts, or for a session-based deployment, adding in our terminal services session hosts. And it also, down below on that page, gives us a summary from a graphical perspective of what we have currently set up in our environment. So you'll see I've got a remote desktop web access server, my licensing server, a connection broker that distributes connections across multiple virtualization hosts or multiple session hosts. And then I've got just a small environment where I've got one VDI host deployed and one session host deployed with some applications and desktops that are published to those. And then we also have a summary view over on the side where it lists out each of the servers and what roles each of them are running and whatnot. If there's components that aren't currently in your configuration, like a remote desktop gateway for doing secure internet connectivity into the environment, you can just click on the plus button and be able to add in your gateway and step through the process. Or if you wanted to change your configurations, you can right-click on any of your deployed servers and add or remove or edit the configurations as you go along. So basically, I went through a quick start deployment. I did it for VDI initially. I tagged one of my initial Hyper-V hosts in as a remote desktop virtualization host. And then once I got into this initial environment, I just right-clicked and added my other virtualization hosts in using the Add Virtualization Host option. And then I wanted to also be able to show you all the session host capabilities. So I also came over here and added in a RD session host server. So you'll see that I've got one session host server as well that's two session host servers, that are configured as session hosts. Once you've got your server infrastructure in place, then you can build out your collections. So with remote desktop virtualization hosts that are serving up full VDI desktop environments, you can right-click and create virtual desktop collections, where it'll step you through the process of specifying and defining a set of virtual desktop templates that you'd want to set up in your environment. So you can give your collection a name and then step through the process of selecting a template VM and specifying your various settings and to which groups within Active Directory those are assigned. Similarly, if I create a session collection on my remote desktop session hosts, I can use that to set up collections of applications that I want to remote app publish to various user groups within my Active Directory environment. So I've got one of each that I've already got set up. You'll see them over here listed in my left navigation panel under collections. I've got my remote apps, and I've got some basic remote apps that are published out, and I've got VDI desktop collection with a couple VDIs that are currently running in place off of a common desktop image. So pretty easy to actually get started with a basic VDI environment that you can then grow to encompass additional remote desktop servers, additional virtualization hosts, additional collections of apps and published desktops and whatnot. The cool piece is that the user access into this environment once it's set up is really pretty easy. If users are external to your environment, coming in across an internet connection, for instance, there's a web-based interface through remote desktop web access that they can log into. So I'm going to go ahead and log in as my admin account. That's the account that I've currently set up as having my remote apps and my desktop published to. So I'll log into my admin account, key in my password for logging into Active Directory, and then I can specify whether I'm on a public computer or a private computer, and it'll allow me to save my password or not. And as I log in to that account, it'll show me my current published apps that I'm allowed to see and my current desktops. So I can just click on one of these, and it'll step through the process of actually launching a remote desktop connection to that published desktop. Or alternatively, if I click on one of my published apps, it'll step through the process of launching just that published app. So if I go ahead and connect and step through the process, you'll see just like that, here's my published app. So this app, you can see it's a published app because down in your taskbar, you'll see a little arrow symbol on top of the app icon. That means that it's published from another collection, in this case the Work Resources collection, within your VDI or remote desktop deployment. But you can drag it around, you can copy and paste to it, just like it's a normal app on your desktop while your other desktop resources are there. And then, of course, if you wanted to log into a full desktop, you can click on your desktop and log in from that standpoint. So it's really easy to, from a remote user standpoint, to be able to have a consistent website. They can browse to, you can brand this website as your own corporate name and can brand it with your own color scheme if you'd like.
Totally
there's
nice.
Also this other, yeah, if you've got a gateway in your environment, there's also this cool capability to connect to a remote PC through the same desktop, same website interface. So if somebody has a desktop PC sitting on their desk, they left powered on, they need to get back to, maybe there's some local application that only is installed on their PC, they can use this to connect into their PC sitting inside their corporate environment as well, their traditional PC.
Ooh.
Just kind of blending that rich client and virtualized client, VDI and remote desktop session world all together into a consistent interface.
You really have three options.
Definitely. But on top of that, we also have the ability to publish this right. If you have clients that are inside your corporate network environment, you also have the ability to publish any of these out to their start screen or into their, if they're a Windows 7 client, to their start menu. So you'll see this VDI desktop. So I could have my other applications listed here as well as tiled applications. It's sitting right on my start screen. When I click on that, it goes through the same process that I would get right from my website interface of launching that remote desktop, that desktop session into the virtual machine and getting me logged in and whatnot so that I can have my full remote desktop session. This is actually a sys-prepped Windows 8 environment, so it's going to go through the process of getting some things set up for me before I can use it, since it's the first time I'm actually accessing my VDI desktop from this machine. But pretty easy to use, pretty integrated into the overall experience. Now, we talked about some other options as being additional options in our slide just before we got into the lab. Talked about virtual GPU capabilities, for instance, is one of them. And I hear a lot of people trying to run more and more graphic-intensive applications through remote desktop or through VDI sessions. Well, the virtual GPU does have a little bit of setup that's involved in order to be able to leverage it with your remote desktop environment. So let me just drop over to one of my Hyper-V hosts. So I'm going to right-click on a Hyper-V host that's acting as one of my remote desktop virtualization hosts, and I'll drop into Hyper-V Manager on it. So on this particular Hyper-V host, I've enabled GPU virtualization. And if we go into Hyper-V settings, under physical GPUs, you'll see a list of the GPUs that are built in on my server. So the whole idea behind GPU virtualization is to be able to take GPU cards that are in your servers and pass them through into virtual machines so that graphics-intensive applications that are running inside of a virtual machine can take advantage of that. So I've got a GPU card. We've got several supported GPUs, NVIDIA and AMD are two of the common manufacturers, but there's others as well. So I've got my GPU card. I've enabled it with Remote FX. It'll show me how much video RAM I have available to share across various virtual machines that I'm exposing this virtual GPU inside of. And then if I go into one of my virtual machines, let's see if I have any of my VDI virtual machines running over here. It doesn't look like I do. Let me switch over to one of my other virtualization hosts. There's a couple of them running. So just like on that other host, I've got GPU virtualization built in here as well. Once it's turned on your host, when I set up my base Windows 8, or it could be Windows 7, VM template for VDI, in the properties of that VM template, I was sure to specify the Remote FX properties. So I said I wanted to be able to support multiple monitors within my VDI session. So I'm supporting up to three monitors, up to 1280 by 1024 resolution. So we've got the ability to support up to eight monitors inside of a virtual desktop session that somebody's accessing through a remote desktop client.
Wow.
Pretty cool stuff.
Yeah,
so if you have power users, you can have...
It really takes away the argument of, you know, people needing to need, you know, really powerful desktops.
Yeah, definitely. And the other piece we didn't talk about when we were talking about remote desktop client reconnect is that one of the other improvements, if you are using multiple remote desktop or multiple monitors within your VDI VMs, is the remote desktop client on your local PC is also smart enough to know about displays that you're adding into that PC. So that used to be, if you had a remote desktop session established and then you added you connected in another monitor on your physical PC, in order for remote desktop to be able to display to that other monitor, you had to disconnect and reconnect. Now it just figures it out. During the session, it'll say, hey, there's another monitor, and it'll take advantage of it as another session without having to reconnect your remote desktop session in the middle of working on your applications. So again, to your point of kind of blurring that line between having a very feature-rich, performant virtual desktop environment and what I can do locally in my physical desktop environment, so that you don't really require a lot of physical heavy-duty hardware anymore. You might be running this from a Surface RT device, for instance, with a second monitor attached to it or something like that.
Right.
Cool. Well, what do you say? Does it make sense to drop back over into our office and finish out our session today?
Sure. Great.
Well, Janelle, what do you think? Was that a pretty good roll-through of our VDI capabilities in Server 2012 R2?
Yeah, I think you hit a great, little bit of everything from the server side to what the client sees and stuff like that. And I still think this is completely crazy that this just comes out of the box.
I know. Yeah, free is good.
Free is always good.
Yep, definitely. Well, hey, and the great thing about getting started with remote desktop services in Server 2012 R2 and exploring that as a component of your VDI strategy is that you don't necessarily need to build a whole complex on-premises lab environment to do that with. Up in Azure, for instance, you can build out a remote desktop session virtualization environment and get started with the basics of it. And then once you've established a comfort level, you can build out the remote desktop VDI virtualization components on premises. And Azure, I find, makes a great lab environment for IT pros because you can build it up in the cloud, full VMs running Server 2012 R2. Oftentimes you can build it faster than you can download the installation bits from MSDN or TechNet. And it becomes a really cost-effective way to kick the tires. In fact, out at one of the links that are on the page below that you're watching the video on, there's a step-by-step guide that'll walk you through building out remote desktop services on Azure as part of a cloud-based remote desktop as a service type initiative. So if you have interest in that, be sure to check that out. It's a great way to get better introduced to the new capabilities in Server 2012 and R2 for remote desktop services, as well as start exploring delivering remote desktops from the cloud. So be sure to take advantage of that. And also, if you're interested in other step-by-step scenarios on Azure, you can also check out our Cloud Lab link at AKAMS Cloud Lab. Well, Janelle, thanks so much for joining us today to talk about VDI with everyone.
My pleasure. A lot of fun.
Had some great fun in the lab with you and showing everybody the VDI configurations that are so easy to achieve. And thank you, everyone, for joining our episode today to learn about VDI as another component of our Private Cloud Foundation. And I look forward to seeing you all back on our next episode of Build Your Hybrid Cloud, where we'll be starting to get into System Center 2012 R2 and looking at some of the new enhancements in Virtual Machine Manager around networking, storage, and compute fabrics. Until then, have a great rest of your day. Take care, everyone.
Bye.